Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. Welcome to each of you, whether you're a guest here this morning. We're glad that you came to join us, as well as members here. We look forward to being blessed in worship and fellowshipping with each other. Will you stand for our call to worship?
From Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
The world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room.
Father in heaven, fill our hearts with this joy. Give us expectant hearts as we await the celebration of the birth of you, our Savior, coming to this earth. And also we anticipate and joyfully expect your coming again to make all things right. Lord God, lead us, guide us in this worship and throughout our lives, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Glad you're with us on this Lord's Day, the first Sunday of Advent. Snow seems appropriate, right? For all of you that like the snow, for you, those that don't, I'm sorry. Lord, we're glad you're with us. If you're visiting with us, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We do have, again, a little information water bottle on the information desk. Grab one of those on the way out. Again, get a hold of me if you want to learn more about our church. Feel free to call and we'll meet for coffee. Let me extend to you our Lord's greeting. Then we're going to greet one another, and then we have our Advent reading. So we'll have two Advent readers reading and lighting our first candle for this Advent season. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's greet one another this morning.
You may be seated.
In ancient times, God's people were waiting for the coming of the promised Messiah.
The Lord had promised that the day would come when he would fulfill the gracious promise he had made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah.
The Gospels record how that promised Messiah became a baby. That child grew to be a man who was fully human and yet divine, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
We light this first Advent candle in celebration of the Christ who came. We look forward to that wonderful day when he will come again. Let us pray to our Lord who has come and is coming again.
God in heaven, how great it is that we can come to this place and celebrate the Jesus who came and who surely will come again. May this be a season filled with joy and meaning for us who put our hope in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was and who is and who is to come. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Come the long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art. To thy glorious throne.
excelsis Deo, or glory to God in the highest. Can you imagine what it must have been like to see a company, a host, a group, a really huge number of angels showing up in the middle of the night and breaking into song? It would be so crazy. After 2,000 years ago, they sang glory to God in the highest. Will you stand and join us as we echo back glory to God in the highest?
In reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Strains prolong, what the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song.
Isaiah 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. O come, Emmanuel.
Spring.
Call to confession. When Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he became like us in all things but sin. May we who have been reborn in him be free from our sinful ways. Would you bow your head as I pray a prayer of confession? Our Heavenly Father, all year long we pursue many loves. Love of money, the love of power, the love of influence. Yet you came in weakness. God, all season long, so often we're drawn away to covet material things when you alone offer what is lasting. Through your work, Lord Jesus, you come among us full of grace and truth, so we ask that you would forgive us, heal us, correct us, and open our lips that we may sing your praise with the angels. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. The assurance of pardon, first from Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then John 1, verse 12. To all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Praise be to our God who forgives us all of our sins. So taking a break from the book of Philippians. This morning, we are turning our attention to Isaiah chapter 9, and the kids follow the flag, the children in worship at this time. It's funny, without the stage, I feel so far away from everybody. So Isaiah chapter 9. So my daughter right now, who loves to read, all of them do, one of them is reading the book Wonder. I don't know if you've ever read that book or seen that movie. The book, it's been turned into a film, but it was about a 10-year-old boy who had or has Treacher-Collins syndrome. Living near Manhattan, and the medical condition causes a facial deformity. Ended up having 27 surgeries. The family initially chose to homeschool this boy. But then about the fifth grade, his parents had him enter private school. And there, immediately he received bullying and kickback. But he ends up making one good friendship. Now this boy's life is filled towards the end with friends and then also those who choose to pick on him. I mean, I'm not going to tell you why the book is called Wonder. You'll have to wonder about that and read it to find the answer. But we don't have to wonder about our sinful condition towards one another. when this young boy had a challenge of his situation. And many of you, I'm sure, could say in your life, you could label it as wonder in one sense, issues that you faced, hardships, trials, maybe marriage failures or marriage issues, financial issues, maybe even growing up, you were the one that was picked on in school or did the picking on, I don't know. I don't know all of your stories, but we all in one sense could hold the word wonder out in front of us. But as Christians, we wouldn't hold it out in front of us as what we've done or what's been done to us. We hold it out as it relates to Christ. Christ is the wonder. He's the wonderful counselor, Isaiah tells us. Because of all that he would do, according to Isaiah, and all that he has done, as we know in church history, and all that he will yet to do, he is the wonder of our life. That's the name we're focusing on this morning from Isaiah chapter 9, Wonderful Counselor. So let me go to that text. I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. And Isaiah wrote these words from God. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. In verse 3, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with at the harvest time, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken us on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let me pray. God, as your people foreshadowed you sending the Messiah into the world, telling your people he will be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I ask that we would know Jesus this way, as he is, who he is, the true wonder of wonders. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, a wonderful counselor. What's in a name? What do we get from this name that we're looking at this morning? Let me begin here. The past wonder of this wonderful counselor. Now, we know what it's like to be trapped in wonder or in awe. You should have seen my little boy this morning when he opened up the window to look out and he saw the snow falling. I mean, it was crazy. It's like, wow, it's amazing. I want to go play in it. Can we play in it now? Can we play in it after church? And, you know, and then for us, it's like, it is amazing, you know? I just forgot about that, but we needed a little boy to remind us of the wonder that he had in seeing the snow fall. Wonder. We love the idea. Our kids wonder when the presents will end up under the tree because they want to wonder what's in them so they can shake them and feel their weight and make some guesses. We love to wonder about good things. Who will I marry? How many kids will I have? What will my job be? How about this vacation? We love to wonder as we contemplate wonderful things. But when we hear this word in relation to Jesus, it doesn't mean that. Because when we hear wonder, we like to think it means just extraordinary, like Jesus was just extraordinary. But it means more than that. The word has its root in a word, of the Greek word pele. In Psalm 78:12, we read this of the word wonder. In the sight of their father, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. So now this word has more to do with God's wonders that he would perform in his divinity and who he is as creator than more than our just anticipation of like presence or things extraordinary. It has to do with divinity. So it doesn't mean that Jesus was only an extraordinary person. It points to the miracles of God himself. It means that he himself, Jesus himself, is that God of wonder. And so we use the word wonder. I think we might cut ourselves short a little bit because it means so much more. It designates his deity in one sense of God's performing wonders. Well, how about the second part, counselor? We know that God in the person of Christ is a wonder, but what about counselor? Now, to assume the throne of David forever and ever, this messianic king would have to have wisdom, right? To assume any role of king, you had to be wise. And typically, kings would gather around themselves multitudes of counselors. But God himself doesn't need any counselors. He is wisdom. He is the wise counselor himself. He is his own advisor. He is the source of wisdom, the source of rule, the source of truth. He, in this divine sense, is wonderful counselor. So I hope you feel the weight of that word more than what we would just read on its surface. Let's consider a bit more now of Isaiah 9, its context, as we unpack the title given to Christ. In Isaiah 9, verses 8 through chapter 10, verse 4, tell of God's judgment upon the sin of Israel. The sin was judged by the destruction, God sending Assyria and Egypt upon Israel, mostly Assyria, and the damage they would do to Israel. So God was sending his judgment upon Israel for their sin, but there's a key phrase within Isaiah 9 that's repeated that I want you to hear as we understand God sending his judgment upon their sin. We read this in Isaiah 9, verse 12. For all of this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. We read in Isaiah 9, 17. Therefore, the Lord does not rejoice over their young men and has no compassion on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is godless and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. So we hear God's judgment in there. But then he says this. For all of this anger, he has not turned away. And his hand is stretched out still. Again, we see this in chapter 9, verse 21. Manasseh devours Ephraim, and Ephraim devours Manasseh. Together they are against Judah. For all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. So we see God coming in judgment using Assyria upon Israel, but God's hand is stretched out still. And we see specifically what this stretched out hand is in the prophecy of Isaiah of the coming Messiah. The Lord judged Israel for their sin, but his mercy was coming. Now, we might ask, well, what was the sin? In particular, it was what we talked about last week. It was the sin of pride, specifically. The pride in their thinking that the challenges that they were facing would soon pass and they could build themselves up better than they ever were before. That they could do this themselves. It was the sin of the hardness of their heart, their refusal to repent of their pride and their envy and turn to the Lord. So here we have Assyria, mainly, and Egypt, capturing the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, the nation was never set back in place in how it was. It came to be known as Samaria. One author points out, after the Babylonian captivity, the people of Judah were given another chance to establish themselves in the land, and through them, the Messiah would be sent by God into the world. But it was just a little remnant that would come back. And then so, from our perspective, how could this Messiah come from such a small remnant? But if God said it, he'll do it, right? The promises of God will be fulfilled. So by and large, the people of God were in a dark time because of their own sin. They were living in a time of darkness. With only a remnant that returned. But God is the God of wonder. He tells us over and over again that his plans do not depend upon us. He will accomplish all that he has said. I mean, the whole story of Scripture is about God doing what he has said he will do. Scripture does remind us, it tells us of our fallenness, it shows us our rebellion against God. But the covenant of God, his promise to us that he will keep over and over, is about him. And what he will do. And so true wonder in this word we're considering this morning, that people who are in darkness, that God would bring them out with his outstretched hand. that it wasn't up to the remnant, it was up to God himself. It is a wonderful thing. God is a great God that we serve. Isaiah giving us the title, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is who the Messiah would be. So we read these sections and we consider these words, and right away our mind hopefully goes to, well, what's the application for us? How do we fit into dark times? Now, granted, we're not in that situation, but I think how we face the dark times of our life are similar. We think if we just grin and bear it and rough through it, we'll be okay. God, you're good. I love you on Sunday. I love to sing. I love to feel good, but this situation's tough. Let me just do this. And God's like, no, that's pride. Now, God does promise we will face difficulty in this life. But he's promised us something greater. His outstretched hand towards us. And then we ask, well, what does that mean for us who've lost parents or children or jobs or family members, kids maybe? You know, Christmas is a difficult time for some people. It's not a time filled with joy. It's a time filled with anguish because of the loss of loved ones. What does this mean for you? I mean, the fall has left nothing untouched. And we, even in ourselves, we need restoration. We do, don't we? And our answer is the same. God sends his wonder into the world to fix what's broken. His promised Messiah. God is faithful. We're reminded of God's faithfulness in Numbers 23, verse 19. Just take these verses in here. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the field is mine, God says. The cattle on 1,000 hills. Know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. Reminds us of Luke chapter 12. I tell you, my friends, Jesus says, do not fear those who can kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will tell you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for a penny? Are not one of, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. It all belongs to God. If God has said it, it will happen. We can trust him. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when we're in those dark moments, now, obviously there's a different comparison to what Israel was going through. What I'll ask people in that time is, you know, we all know we're going to get through it one way or another, even if it means we're with God in the end. But think of God in your past. Has he ever proven to be unfaithful to you? Has he ever not followed through with what he's promised to provide for you and to care for you? Remember who God has been so we know who he is right now and who he will be into the future. God is our wonder. But not only do we remember the past, we consider the present. The present wonderful counselor realized. So I hesitate a little bit to show this. So Celine Dion has a new clothing ad. Have you guys seen that? Thinking of the people of God being in a time of darkness, the commercial just came out. The gist of the commercial is we must go genderless, we must erase the notions of male and female, and we must begin at birth with kids. I mean, she's selling clothes, right? I mean, when you're in the hospital with your wife expecting, if you didn't have the ultrasound before, what are the words that you want to hear? It's a boy or it's a girl, right? That's what we want to hear. Now, the gist of the commercial is we must go genderless. We must erase the notions of male and female. We must begin at birth. I mean, it's a spiritual attack on our nation in a very real sense. I'm not particularly pointing out Celine Dion here, but it is the spirit of the age. It is spiritual warfare that's happening that puts us in a dark time. But anyway, so the commercial goes. She walks into this hospital. The kids are decorated in blue and pink. Everything looks lively and happy. And she walks in and she blows some dust over all the kids, over all the babies. And then pretty soon black crosses fall over top of them, skulls over some of them. Some with the wording on the shirt, New Order. I mean, it's just demonic, like so much of Hollywood. I mean, why do I even share that? One member of the clergy stated this: many of the devil's ordinary temptations are passed off as modern ideas, but really serve to unhinge the principles of the faith. So the darkness that we face in our day and age, it's not new. There's nothing new under the sun. We do deal with demonic oppression, judgment for our own sin. We experience judgment even now in what we face in the nation. But here's the good news. It's the same good news Israel had and the nations of the world have. So there are times of darkness, the shadow of death. But God would send his light, and he did. He sent Jesus to scatter the darkness of the enemy, of our sin. Take good encouragement that even though we live in times where we see God's judgment clearly, his hand is outstretched to his people. And that brings me to verse 2. Let me read 2 to 7 again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel in the fire. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. And then he says, from this time forth and forevermore, Christ rules and reigns now. And you know, we'll see fully what that looks like one day as he stands upon the earth after the second advent. But of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So fast forward 700 years-ish past those words from Isaiah. To the birth of this God-man, this wonderful counselor, to the birth of Christ. Now, what do we know about the birth of Christ as it relates to this prophecy? The promised Messiah had come, the reason we celebrate Advent, but what do we know of his teaching as it relates to this prophecy? It's interesting, if you were to hop over, there's a lot to say about it, but to Matthew 12, verse 17, hear this. To those that were facing God's judgment, God promised his outstretched hand, his Messiah would come, and then Christ came, and we read this. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he, Jesus, withdrew into Galilee. After leaving Nazareth, he went and he lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness. In the spot that God promised, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From this time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right there, God put him right there so that the words of Isaiah might be fulfilled. Wonder. The wonder of God, of what he does. And sending himself, the second person of the Trinity, the mighty counselor. He's come in this very sense to shine the light in the darkness, hundreds of years later. So my application immediately, I go to my bank to make a deposit, just a little bank. It wasn't very full. Just wanted to make a deposit and go to the gym. And I sat there for a half hour. I am so impatient. Here I am preparing these words of trusting God, trusting his timing, and I can't sit in a bank for a half hour. And then I think how often an application for all of us, how often do we get impatient with God? So Christ comes, you know, 750 years after Isaiah spoke those words, and I can't sit in a bank for a half hour. We don't want to wait. You know, so even when we're trusting God for important things, a child, joy, reconciliation, healing, how impatient are we? God, why don't you move? Why don't you do this now? We have a hard time waiting. We read in 2 Peter 3, 8 to 10. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, but with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. God's promises will come to pass, and they'll come in his timing. I mean, if we're fortunate enough, we'll see some things happen now, you know, maybe healing now. We pray for healing for people. I imagine there's vets coming out of Iraq missing limbs that are counting on Christ to restore him, and that'll be in the life to come. Maybe there's addictions or other dysfunctions that we face that it will be the life to come that they're totally removed. I don't know. Some things we see now, some things will be here after we're gone. Blessings to family, generational blessings after our time here has come and gone. God is not slow to act. We're just impatient. And ultimately think we have to get it done ourselves. We'll rebuild this land. We don't need God, so God sends his judgment. But his outstretched hand and his promise of the Messiah to his people, he will act. The day is coming. This brings us now to the future wonderful counselor waited for. So we've considered the past, who he was, what he's done, the present, how he's acting now, and now we consider the future. So Christ is no longer physically with us. One of the things I love about Awana, it just gets my brain going. I think just sitting in a group, even if it's of kids, it's just so helpful. And we were talking a couple weeks ago, and I asked, is it a good thing that Christ isn't with us physically right now? I mean, it just sounds like a confusing question, because Christ is with us. But I said, isn't it a good thing that he's not with us physically? And there was just silence. I'm like, well, reframe the question a little bit. Could Christ, in his physical body, be with all of you all the time, everywhere? I'm like, no. He can't physically be everywhere all the time in the flesh. So is it a good thing that he's not with us physically right now? They're like, yes. I'm like, why? Because he sent his spirit, who is now everywhere all the time with us wherever we go. So he is with us present all the time. A wonderful counselor in the flesh, taken up into heaven. Sends his spirit to be with his people all the time, everywhere. And he's coming again in the flesh when he returns at the second advent. But he's left his wonderful counselor himself with his people. And so what does the Spirit of God do as he works in us, our wonderful counselor? Let me just read a couple of verses. I don't have them printed, but I have the titles printed here. We know the Spirit of God teaches us. John 14:26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything. Wonderful counselor. He testifies to Christ. John 15, but when the helper comes, whom I'll send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit, as the wonderful counselor, convicts. John 16, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt, expose the guilt of the world, with regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. On and on, the list goes of what Christ does right now through the Spirit. He leads, Romans 8, we read, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He reveals all truth. He is the source of truth. We read in John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He strengthens and he encourages. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. You know, reading up on the Spirit here and what the Spirit does is God has left us with the Spirit. I was reading of Paul's missionary journeys and all the times that the Spirit of God prohibited Paul from entering a place. I'm like, what does that look like when Paul wants to go into a city but the Spirit of God won't let him? So the wonderful counselor, he comforts. John 14, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And on, he helps in weakness. He intercedes. He searches the deep things of God. He sanctifies us. Bearing witness or testifying to the truth. So is it good that Christ isn't here in the flesh in that sense? That he's with us all the time wherever we go now by his Spirit. He is the wonderful counselor at work in his people now, finishing what he started in each of us, building his church until that second advent when that day comes. New heavens, new earth, restored bodies. Think of that boy in the Book of Wonder. Anyone dealing with that, their faces will be restored. But even now we look around and we see the evidence of his rule and reign. We're to look and we're to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. Let me wrap this up. So I quoted Celine Dion's commercial, so I have to quote Mr. Rogers just to make this sermon complete. So everyone knows the now famous Mr. Rogers quote. In time of trial, in time of darkness, in time of tragedy, he wrote this. He said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" I mean, the world's scary, the world's bad, it's broken. Historically, since the fall, this has been the way of the world. And we as Christians aren't only called to find the good news in light of darkness, we're to find the wonder of Christ in light of darkness. When you find those that are helping in times of trial and tragedy, look beyond that and look to the helper whom God has sent, to the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, our wonderful counselor. See what he's doing. Follow his lead. He leads us by and with the word of God. Look beyond the darkness to see what God is doing. So in the weeks of Advent ahead, we're going to explore more the names of God. Next week we have our children's concert here. And then Brad will say more about that shortly. Then we're going to pick up again with the remainder of the names we have here in Isaiah. But let me end with this. Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? There is nothing dull about Jesus and his rule and his reign. As counselor, he has all the wisdom in the world because he's the source of all wisdom. As king and ruler, he has all power in the world because he's the source of all rule and power. I mean, this is the God we celebrate this Advent season and every Sunday, every day. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, no one before him, no one after him. He is King of kings, and he is Lord of lords. He is our wonderful counselor. Let me pray. Jesus, you are our wonderful counselor. We thank you that you have come. We thank you that you dwell in this place, not in these walls, but in us by your Spirit. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in the church. And we pray this Advent season and every season, Lord, we would be following you by your Spirit, by and with your word. Show us the way to go, Lord. You are the wonderful counselor. We pray this in your name. Amen. Our offering today will be for Resonate Global Mission. I ask you to pass the friendship folders as the offering is taken, and we have a video that we're going to show. Is that queued up for our offering for next week? All right. Again, this week is for Resonate Global Mission.
Grant us, Lord God, the vision of your kingdom. Grant us forgiveness and new life. Grant us the stirring of your Spirit, so that we may proclaim your love and change this world. May your Spirit make us wise. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit strengthen us so that we may be strong in the faith, courageous in witness, and persistent in good deeds. God the sender, send us. God the sent, come with us. God the strengthener of those who go, empower us, so that we may go with you and find those who will call you Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So that was the video for this week's offering. Usually I can get away with mistakes, but that one I can't get away with. Let's offer our prayer to God over the offering and the needs of the church. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Christ into the world. We thank you that he has come. I thank you for those in this room that have received him as Lord and Savior, because that's who you are. King of kings and Lord of lords. And all the nations one day will come to you very clearly. You are wise. You are good. And even considering what your people faced and the promise Isaiah gave to them, Lord, we think of the spiritual battle happening in our nation with the attack over male and female, as you've created them, male and female. Over marriage. As you bring male and female together to tell the story of Christ in the church, over family, Lord, we know it's a spiritual battle in a time of darkness, and it is judgment upon our nation, upon us for decisions we've made and directions we've gone. But yet you extend your hand outward, and there is restoration, there is healing. So I pray for wisdom, Lord, as we deal with a culture who embraces ways that are not yours. Could I even pray that Celine Dion's clothing line would fail? And any attempts, Lord, to manipulate the minds of kids in directions that are not in line with your word, that we as parents and leaders, Lord, would stand firm upon who you are and proclaim clearly what you've said with joy and grace, but filled with truth. It's a difficult time, Lord, even for Christians to speak boldly, but it's the time you've given to us to speak boldly. It's the time you've given to us to speak clearly, so I pray we would speak clearly. Lord, your timing is perfect. You've given us this time to exist and live right now, so might we live for you in the places and the situations you've placed us in. Fearing a holy God and not an unholy world. Trusting your timing and your ways and the work you're doing through Christ. God, we know that you're good, and you are the God of healing and restoration. And as we've talked about, we know for some that will come in the life to come. But we would pray, Lord, that we would see your kingdom here, even now. Your will be done now, as it is in heaven. We think of Becky Miedema's mother, Lord Paula, who's been re-diagnosed with cancer. We ask for healing upon her body. Be with their family as they struggle together again. With Bernice in the hospital, we pray for healing for her, Lord Jesus. Watch over her and her family. We thank you that Brad's with us this morning, Stanbro, and healing you've given to him. Lord, we thank you for the craft night this last week and the work that went into that and those that attended and the blessing that it was. We thank you that Gene can be with us this morning as well, Lord. We thank you for his new home here in Des Moines. God, we know there are many prayers that are not spoken, that weren't mentioned. Some mentioned privately. But Lord, if you have the hairs of our head numbered, you know the thoughts we think before we think them. And so I pray all our thoughts would come in alignment with your word, that we would pray your thoughts after you, that your will be done. And so we close by praying, Lord, the words as you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Are there any announcements this morning?
Well, I was called out by the pastor during the sermon to say something about the program, so I guess I'm going to say something. No, just a reminder to everyone, we have practice this afternoon. It's at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and that's just for grades, second grade through junior high. So this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
I'm not sure how this calling out thing works. Kevin has a song for us. No, just kidding. He might actually.
I'm full of songs, but... Many of you heard the report of our Liberian ministry when we got back from our trip in February. So Brad and Coton and Rachel and Joseph Zarway were part of that trip. We are taking another offering in a couple Sundays on, I think that's the 16th is the date, and it'll be a second offering. One of the priorities that we determined along with a group of the pastors there as we met with them was to continue physically rebuilding churches. And Joseph and Rachel's work extended from the area of Nimba County that we were in just over the border into Ivory Coast. And there's other churches there who were part of his ministry and also were damaged in civil war. And so we are seeking to raise $20,000 for those churches. I'm not sure of all the details yet. I think some will be some repairs, some rebuilding, some expanding. It's a priority because when you have a building, a place where people have come, more people come. And they can provide services and Bible studies. So that's our goal. And with that, we are continuing to seek partnership with others. I know Joseph has been in contact with another congregation here in Des Moines. We're reaching out to Classis and hopefully can get in the churches of Classis. To try to partner with them as well. But this is a starting point to this $20,000 goal. So in terms of your financial gifts in this season, I ask you to keep that in mind on the 16th. The four churches, I know I'm going to destroy the names, Joseph, of these churches in Ivory Coast, but Clone, Nizorbli, Tuli Plu, Gibai Bli, and I think that one's actually near the border in Liberia, but the other three are in Ivory Coast. So thank you for your attention.
On Saturday the 22nd, we have the shelter dinner at the Central Iowa Shelter and Services. We're going to do Sloppy Joe's again. That's been a huge hit. So we don't quite have the sign-up sheet, but that'll be out in the friendship folders and in the Narthex for next Sunday service. If you're wanting to be one step ahead, the ground beef would be about 3 to 4 pounds. Please cook that ahead of time, and then just like a sloppy joe or manwich. And then there's always the need for desserts or like cookie bars, etc. And then typically around this time of year, we also try to collect some winter clothing, gloves, hats. If you have a gently used coat, I'm sure that they would accept that. So thank you in advance. I'll talk about it again here the next couple Sundays.
And I have one final announcement as well. Wouldn't it be great if someone was praying for you all year? I mean, there is, but somebody else as well. So what we're going to do this Christmas with this tree up here, I'm going to ask that each of you who want to be prayed for by someone else in the church, if you grab an ornament from home or buy one from the store, put your name or your family's name on the back of it. And if you put an ornament on the tree sometime before Sunday, December 23rd, I'm going to ask all those that put an ornament on the tree to take off somebody else's ornament and take that ornament home and the name on the back that you would pray for that person or that family all through 2019. Put it somewhere in your home where you'll see it. I don't know, on the fridge or in your office, but somewhere where you'll see it and be reminded to pray for that person or family. So if you will, if you want to be prayed for, if you want to pray for a family, bring in an ornament and put your name on it, and then you'll take somebody else's on the 23rd. So I think Noel's going to put ours up right there. So, would you stand for the benediction? From 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 to 13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Amen.
Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is born.